Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Got a bit of got the information here about what's going in the podcast. Could you do high octane introduction to podcast? I think this is gonna.
Really?
It's gonna be fine. This we'll just do this. It's fine.
Yeah.
So hello. There's a podcast of that. You've probably heard of them. They're a futuristic medium whereby you take the least worst bits of something, in this case, the all-new XFM Breakfast Show, and then just sort of dump it on the internet, really. It's like audio fly-tipping.
Yes.
Matt. Yeah, what we do, we take bits of the show from the week. For instance, I'll give you examples of what's coming up in the podcast. Rockstar Remedy, do you remember Clint Boone was trying to call?
Oh, yes.
Cure whooping cough, wasn't it, at the beginning of the week? Band I found on MySpace, you played and lost.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
Good comeback, though, midway through.
Yeah. Well, as the listener will hear.
You'll find out.
Yeah. Jeremy Piven, the... I'll go as far as to say C-list Hollywood actor was our guest.
Ooh.
Wasn't he? I say that because on Friday we had Quentin Tarantino.
Doesn't get much bigger than
doesn't
that.
Get much more A than he. Then we, what else happened? There was a thought for the day for Satanists because we were interested in equality, weren't we? That happened on Wednesday. And then Muse were in, weren't they, play the XFM under-resourced studio. So it's a version of Plug-in Baby on accordion, tin whistle, and I think sleigh bells.
Yeah.
All of that, those were the least worst bits. There's other stuff in there as well, I'm sure, coming up on TikTok. Anyway, we've taken all of that, Matt and I, and we've put it in the back of a van, and we've driven it along to the internet, under cover of darkness, because it is illegal to dump things on the internet. And we just pushed it out the back of the XFM van and left it on the internet for you to find. Well done, lucky listener.
Hope you've stumbled across it.
Yeah, what a treat you're in for.
If you could take it to the recycling centre, that would be great.
After you've finished
it. Yeah,
that would be good. All new XFM Breakfast Show. Here's the podcast. And it's a new year, isn't it? You've probably noticed that. It's a new year, isn't it? The year that it is a new year. You've probably spotted that already. Again, you didn't really need my help to tell you that. But you're probably trying to be good. Detox, that's the name of the game, isn't it, at the moment? In the January, and you're probably trying to look after yourself. But who knows more about looking after yourself really well than a rock star? Now, I am aware that some of them look like a chewed piece of beef jerky that's been sicked up. Iggy Pop, for example, but something is keeping his weird leathery body going, isn't it? And we want to know what that is. And that's why here on XFM, once a week, we will bring you something we're calling Rockstar Remedies. Whatever your ailment, maybe you're suffering from a bloody Valentine this morning, or you've got a particularly biffy clyro. Whatever that is, I don't know what that even means. Think of us like NHS Direct, right, to help you, but with Rockstar's help as well. XFM Direct, it's like a budget version of NHS Direct. So here's the first of our Rockstar remedies then. It's Clint Boone out of Off of the Inspiral Carpets with his cure for whooping cough.
Hello, I'm Clint Boone from Inspiral Carpets, and I'm here today with my homemade remedy for whooping cough. Whooping cough is an infection of the lining of the airways, which causes a persistent hacking cough with a characteristic whoop noise, as if you've swallowed a gibbon. The initial symptoms of whooping cough may include sore throat, runny nose, raised temperature, and generally feeling unwell. When this happens, you might like to try my homemade herbal tincture. This is a wonderful remedy for nighttime coughing episodes. Use equal parts elecampane and wild cherry bark, quarter cup of each and 2 cups of water. Bring to a simmer, turn off and steep for 10 minutes. Strain promptly and mix in a quarter cup of honey to make a thin syrup. If you like, you can leave out the honey, but elecampane is bitter, especially if you simmer it for too long. Dilute the syrup with water and sip as needed or drink undiluted by the teaspoon for children or tablespoon for adults. I'm Clint Boone from Inspiral Carpets, and that's my homemade remedy for whooping cough on the XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Ah, oh, thanks, Clint.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
It's coming at 8:55. I am John Holmes. This is the all-new XFM Breakfast, where we now play an all-new to XFM Breakfast game. This is called Band I Found on Spotify, or works like this. I say the name of a thing, it will change every time. But it will either be the name of a band I found on Spotify, or the name of something else. And today, the something else is the name of a police operation. Matt will be playing in the studio. Hello, Matt. Yeah, I'll put your, so I'll put your microphone.
Hi.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? On the telephone to play, XFM listener Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hello, John.
How are you?
Very good, mate. You?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah, thanks for hopping along. What do you do, Adam? What do you do?
Finance, mate. I'm in finance.
You're in finance, and are you at work at the moment? Are you on the way?
On the way, mate.
On the way. So we're going to make you late, really.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, good. I'm glad about that.
I was going to be late anyway, so don't worry.
Oh, it's fine then, isn't it? It doesn't matter. Well, look, are the rules clear, Adam? That's my first question. Are the rules to this clear?
Yeah, I think so.
And all you need to do, when I ask you, it'll go alternately between you and Matt, you just need to say band or police operation. That's it. All right? So I'll call out the thing, and you tell me whether you think it's a band or a police operation code name, right? Clear?
Yep.
Good. If you win, you will win two tickets to see Two Door Cinema Club at the O2 Academy Brixton on the 8th of February, Adam.
Even better.
That's right. Yeah. With these prizes, we spoil you. Everyone ready to play? Adam, ready to play?
Yes, mate.
Matt, ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, alphabetical order to start. Obviously, make things fair. Matt first. Here we go, then. Dave's keeping score, right?
Yeah.
So, Matt, is this a band or is it a police operation code name? Nimrod.
Band.
No, it's police operation code name.
Oh,
off to a poor start there.
Yeah.
Adam, here's yours. Criton. Criton. Is that a band?
Police operation.
It is, into race fixing. Very well done, yeah.
Oh,
okay, here's yours, Matt. Purple Warrior.
That's definitely a band.
No, it's a police operation.
It's an operation.
It's an operation.
What, into what?
It is.
Into what?
I don't know. I didn't research that far, but it is. Here's yours, Adam. Black Canary. Black Canary.
Band.
Yes. American. Very good. Matt, Operation Poodle.
Well, that's got operation in the title, so I think that's a red herring, so I think it's a band.
It's an operation. Adam, here's yours. Operation Rock.
Band.
Is a band. Good. Matt, Operation Mind Crime.
That's definitely a band.
No, half a point because it's an album by Queensryche. Operation Mind Crime. Adam, here's yours. Blue Goat.
Band.
It's a band from New York. Very good. Matt. Beaver cage.
It's a police operation.
It is a police operation. Adam, here's yours. Witch doctor.
Band.
Police operation. Matt.
Ooh.
Crack war.
That's a band.
It is a band.
Yes.
Adam, Perseus.
Band.
Operation.
Ooh, he's losing that lead.
Oh, Matt, Spock's beard.
Well, that is a band.
It is a band. Good. Adam, Cloudscape.
Police operation.
It's a band.
Ooh.
Matt, Stinging Starfish.
There's no way that's an operation. That is definitely a band, and I'm not hearing otherwise.
It's a band.
Yes.
And finally, Adam, Operation Blunt. Operation Blunt.
Ooh. Well, I started well. Let's go police operation.
It is a police operation, ooh, correct. It was into knife crime. Very well done. Dave, what are the scores? I'll put your microphone on. Yeah, I'll help with it. Yeah.
Adam actually just nicked it with the final answer there. It's 5 to Matt Dyson's 4.5.
Oh!
Close.
Adam, congratulations.
Thank you very much. So lucky, Matt.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
XFM. Good morning. A
And we welcome our sort of first guest to the all-new XFM breakfast show. And I would, if I could reach you, Jeremy, I would literally welcome you with open arms. But as you're the other side of the desk, I'll keep my arms closed.
I will receive your open arms.
Thanks.
I will double down and give them back to you.
I see, it's already started well. This is good.
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome to XFM.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I love that drum beat. That sounds like an homage to John Bonham.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Who is that with us?
Yeah. This is a bed called Chunky Cymbals. That's right.
I like it.
Yeah, put it on your iPod afterwards.
Chunky Cymbals.
What sort of music, what are you into? What kind of stuff would you
like? I mean, I like everything from, you know, old school Led Zeppelin and stuff like that to kind of world beat music.
Sure.
To a little bit of hip-hop and whatnot. And I'm all over the map, to be honest with you.
All over the map. Mr. Selfridge, so this is Sunday Night Drama. This is on ITV. People are calling it Downton Abbey with Tills.
Yeah.
Is that a fair description? Is that fair? Or?
Look, I got to be honest with you. I'm such a fan of Downton that I hesitate to put us in the same category because I'm just a huge fan of them. And I think the thing about this show is, It very much has its own voice. Yes, it's a period drama, but it has its own pace and energy. And Harry was an American from the Midwest, as am I.
Yeah.
And I think it's also funny.
It is funny.
And sexy. There's some, except for me, there are a lot of young, sexy people in it.
Oh, your beard's fairly sexy in it.
There you
it?
Go. That, you know, I have on. To say, my beard is testing well.
Oh, it's good. It's one of the neatest bits of hair I've ever seen on anything.
I have to say that I've had help, and she's in the room right now. She has clippers.
Hey, clippers.
Yeah.
Could you do me afterwards?
Uh-oh.
All over, I'm thinking.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And did Mr. Selfridge have such a beard, or have you brought this to the part yourself?
What's you know what? He had so many different looks, and one of them was mutton chops with a very long mustache.
Yeah.
And you know what? The women who run ITV have such great taste.
Yeah.
And I think that they wanted something that was authentic, but not unsexy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So we kind of worked it and figured it out. But the one thing that I will say is, on this show and on a lot of British television, they really work hard to make it authentic. And I was really blown away by that and really happy. It's not a documentary about Harry Selfridge, but at the same time, we're really trying to get it right.
Yeah.
And give you a kind of a clear depiction of his life. The rest is completely made up. You know what I mean? There are other people that are on the show that are these brilliant kind of characters that they can take dramatic license with.
Sure. I want to mention a little bit about Smoking Aces as well.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying this because you're here at all, but I love that film.
Thank you.
I got it when it came out and stuff. And
I loved it too.
It didn't do as well as I would like it to have done. Do you know what I mean? I give it to people, go, watch this, it's great.
You know what? It's a cliche, but cliches are insights that were true that have been worn out and they become cliches. But timing is everything. If you look at everyone in that movie, they have become huge stars. Go down the line.
Yeah. Who else was it? Because Ben Affleck was in it.
Well, Ben Affleck and then Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
And Chris Pines. Ryan Reynolds.
If I had to spend any time trapped in the top of a Vegas hotel with anyone, it would be you, Jeremy, because you made that the coolest thing.
You know what? I have to say there are actors that shall remain nameless.
Oh, go on. Come on.
Who?
Come on. Initials, initials, at least initials. Come on.
ID.
All right. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm sorry. I had it wrong. So it doesn't even matter. Okay, I got the initials wrong. Here's the interesting conundrum with Smoking Aces.
Yeah.
I am very boring. I don't do man-made drugs, okay? Coffee is as crazy as I get. And there have been actors who have come up to me saying, you know, hey, man, you know, you do the Bolivian marching powder. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't. They're like, bro, I've seen you do it. I swear to God, and this one guy in particular, I've seen you do it. I was like, you've seen me do it? He goes, yeah. I go, where did you see me do it? He goes, I saw you do it in Smoking Aces. I go, that was powdered vitamin C I was snorting on a sound stage. I'm an actor.
Not a method actor then, clearly.
Not a method, I'm a Methodist actor.
Listen, it's been great. It's been really good to have you in and talk to you and stuff. What are you eating, mate? What are you chewing?
I'm eating peanuts. I'm sorry to chew in your ear.
You're eating what?
Peanuts.
Sorry, I misheard that. Good. That's a good time to stop. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you
so
for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Mr. Selfridge is on ITV at, is it 9 o'clock, isn't it?
9 o'clock Sunday night. It's a little time slot that was used for this show called, I think it's pronounced Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a fairly good time slot.
No one watches it. Listen, yours got 7.5 million people watching it on Sunday. I just found out.
7.5 million is a lot
of
people.
That's good. That's good telling.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. It's exactly 7.5 more people that are listening to this radio show right now. It's amazing.
I think a lot of people listen to this radio show.
Of course they do.
How many people listen to this radio show?
I don't know. It's only our second day. So, you know.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You're going to be huge. You have a lot of energy.
Hey, you're good. That's the vitamin C powder I've been snorting.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Welcome, if you've joined us. So as mentioned, this hour between 6 and 7 is the hour when no one is really, really listening to this. Just there's you there, there you are, look. And there's me here, there's Max as well. He's only half listening, to be honest.
What? Sorry?
Nothing. So this is the part of the programme we call Headline Hijack. At 7 o'clock, statistically speaking, at 7 o'clock, most people's alarms go off. And if they do, that means they go off during Matt's news. So what we like to do is put a false story into that news. A false story, a lie supplied by you. For instance, Matt could read several proper news stories and then insert...
After releasing a new single on his birthday earlier this week, David Bowie has now confirmed he will be one of the celebrity divers on the next episode of ITV1's topless Tom Daley vehicle, Splash.
It's a false news story, please, that we want you to insert into the 7 o'clock news here on XFM, simply to confuse the people who wake up, the lazy people who can't be bothered to be here now, earlier than 7, and they will wake up during that news and go to work believing your lie. 83936 for your made-up news stories, please. At XFM is our Twitter handle, our twandle. It's Headline Hijack on All New XFM Breakfast.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
When you want your commercial read to sound sincere and appeal to a mass audience, use a voice that won't annoy or irritate them. A voice that won't conjure up social prejudice. A quietly spoken, mid-30s sounding voice that every social class can call their own. That's where I come in. I'm mature. I'm your friend. I'm the kind of guy you can trust. I'm Sincere Scottish Voiceover Guy.
170 albums were sold on mini disc, would you believe? And bad news for those of you about to eat toast for breakfast, the price of yeast has shot up overnight to over £10,000 per ounce, making it more valuable than gold. You are now likely to have to pay more than £100 for a pot of Marmite.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So XFM Breakfast, good morning. I've come down to the XFM live room. And joining me, I'm very, very pleased to welcome into the under-resourced XFM session studio, Matt Bellamy from Muse. Good morning, Matt.
John.
How you doing? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Looking pretty... looking chiselled. I always think you look chiselled, Matt Bellamy.
Facially emotionally?
Both of those things, because I think that comes across in your music, doesn't it? Mm. And it's interesting you should use the word chiselled, Matt, isn't it? Because your instruments...
He used the word chiselled.
It's interesting that I should use the word chiselled, isn't it? Because your instruments, I always think, sound like, because I don't know how you get that sound, but it sounds like they've been fashioned out of the very living rock by the hands of mythological Greek titans. How do you get that?
It was titans, actually, until our last album.
Yeah.
They unionised, though, after the last one. So since, I think, we went into the last year is we've been using Games Makers, you know, from the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
We did that song for the Olympics, so that was the sort of the deal that we struck.
Because they were...
The Games Makers were in the Titans, because we just couldn't... The Titan reps were getting too... But yeah, they chiseled it out of the volcano rock it was... used to be. The Games Makers aren't as good at chiselling there.
Is it a bit like... So I think I did see a clip of behind the scenes of the last album with the Games Makers. And is it... Isn't it a bit like in Lord of the Rings, where that mine where the orcs work?
Yeah.
And I saw a clip where you were stripped to the chest, chiseled
always, though,
with a whip, and you were forcing the Games Makers really into fashioning the instruments for Muse.
Yes.
And is that sort of how you do it now? The union part of the...
Yeah, it's good to be autonomous, isn't it? In that sort of situation.
I always thought Muse are that. As well.
I originally wanted to call the band just Matt rather than Muse because it's all me really.
Yeah.
But it was thought it might be a bit too self-involved.
Yeah.
So we sort of rejigged the logo a bit. I looked at all the M4 letters, words in the dictionary.
Yeah, and you came up with...
That's how it came about. So I like to keep on top of everything.
Yeah.
And I think...
That's clear.
You know, Muse is Matt.
I liked on the last album, the song for the Olympics. Mm. Is it true, and I read this, is it true that to get one of the signature sounds in there, you hollowed out the moon and stuck a pipe in it?
Moon replica.
A moon, not an actual moon.
No, we couldn't get the rights for the moon.
But you blew into the replica of the moon, and that's the hollow...
Yeah, so it was an exact replica of the moon, hollowed out. We blew through it, actually through the thorax of a gazelle.
Right.
Into the moon replica.
That explains a lot, actually.
Which is that sort of thing you don't get. Radiohead have used the moon thing before.
Right.
But they haven't used the thorax.
And finally, just before we hear a track here from you, I know you're going to play as a live version of Plug-In Baby. Is it true that the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are guesting on the next Muse album? Is that true?
No, don't be childish, John.
Matt Bellamy, thanks very much. And you're going to play Plug-In Baby for us. And of course, I'm sorry that the XFM studio is under-resourced. We just don't have the budget.
I've had a little look around.
The radio stations. What instruments have you picked out of the XFM music cupboard to play Plug-In Baby?
Well, the tin whistle.
Yes.
Sound over there, because I actually wrote the whole of the first album, Showbiz, on a tin whistle.
Yeah.
So that's all right. I can play that. We've got an accordion.
That's nice.
Which the bassist is going to have forgotten his name.
Doesn't matter. Muse is just Matt.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the sleigh bells, actually, from Christmas.
Here's Muse live in the under-resourced studio on XFM.
I've exposed your life, baby. Something unintelligible here, D.D. Now it's time for changing, cleansing everything to begin. My plug-in baby crucifies my enemies when I'm tired of giving. And my plug-in baby is a rocking machine. It's tired of
XFM in the under-resourced studio. Matt, thank you so much. That was not quite as epic as normal, but it was on the radio, certainly. One question before you go. Plug-in baby, I know that you're about to bring out your own range of like Glade plug-in babies, which are actual replica babies, aren't they? And they give out, I understand when you plug them in, the smell of Muse into the room to freshen it. What is the smell of Muse, would you say? What is it?
It'll just make any room you plug it in smell like the inside of a volcano.
Matt Bellamy, thanks very much. You listen to XFM Breakfast.
And so then, to this brand new feature. So this is love, or so you tell. And it works like this. Each week, Miles Hunt from Out of Off of the Wonder Stuff will be miles away in a different location. And very simply, we invite you to guess where he is from his series of poor clues. You will, in effect, be going on a Miles Hunt. He's miles away, but where is he? Where is he? If you guess correctly this morning, you could win a prize, which is going to be today the best of the Wonder Stuff on cassette. There might be other stuff as well. So all to play for then. Miles Hunt is... But where is he? Well, let's find out together, because he's on the phone from that place with clues. Hello, Miles. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm good.
Morning. How lovely to have you on. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure's all mine.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And to you,
sir. I don't know when it runs out that you can't say that legitimately anymore. Happy New Year. Does it work up until mid-Jan?
I've known it go into February and March before, and leaves me scratching my head.
It's good. I know you're very busy, and I thank you for taking your time out to travel miles away for us, Miles, today. How was your Christmas and New Year? What were you up to?
It was wonderful. I went up to Erica's house. Erica's the violinist in the Wonder Stuff, and my girlfriend, and we went up to her mum and dad's house in a village near Doncaster.
Very nice.
Where we were surrounded by her nieces and nephews and a puppy. So it was your basic perfect Christmas.
That's a lovely thing. We've been asking people this morning, earlier on actually, because there's this, I don't know if you've heard this story, there's a lady in Sheffield who claims she can channel messages from dead dogs.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder, I'm not wishing ill of the puppy at all, but if you were going to ask a question of a dead dog, Miles, what would you, is there anything you'd like particularly to ask them? We will pass these on to the lady in Sheffield, of course.
I used to look after a dog called Thewlis, because he looked incredibly like David Thewlis, the actor. And he was the only dog I've ever experienced that appeared to be able to see stuff on the telly.
Right.
And if you had the beginning of Coronation Street on, no matter where he was in the house, he would come hurtling towards the TV at the sound of the opening trumpet and try and attack the cat. That goes across the wall. I would like to know what Thewlis thought the cat had done that deserved such ill treatment.
It's a very fair question. We will pass that on to the psychic lady.
Well, appreciate that.
Thank you. Right, good. Now, it's time to find out where you are from your series of clues, Miles.
Yeah.
When you're ready, let's find out.
Okay. I'm in an icy environment, where the average temperature is a cool minus 61 degrees. This means that despite being dressed in warm pelts, I've had to slit open the belly of an indigenous creature of this region to keep warm. And in fact, I'm talking to you now from inside its sheltering guts. It's blanketed by snow and ice. This place is blasted by meteorites from a nearby asteroid belt, which make temporary craters in this place's ever-moving snowdrifts. This location has three uninhibited moons, and it's located on the fringes of the Ivax Nebula in the Anuat sector of the Greater Jarvin, along the Ison Corridor. There's a rebel base here, John, but I don't know where it is, because essentially I am lost.
Good.
Right. Finally, the base itself has a shield generator to repel attacks from the Empire. The question is, John, where am I?
Where am you? Where?
Yeah.
This morning is Miles Hunt from Out of Off of the Wonder Stuff. If you think you can decipher that series of clues to work out where he is, 83936, please, and we will give you the answer very shortly. Miles, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, John.
Stay warm, Miles. XFM. Hello, it is XFM Breakfast. I am a man called the name of John Holmes, and traditionally on breakfast programmes, if you've ever heard one before, you'll know that a feature that often they do to give you time to pause and reflect on your day and on life in general is thought for the day, Matt. Pause for thought, isn't it?
It's nice. It's spiritual, isn't it?
It's spiritual. It's a moment for us all to step back from the shouting of the likes of Muse for a moment and just
just sort of look inwardly to ourselves, isn't it? And it, what happens is, it's often vicars or rabbis, isn't it? They come in, and they sort of take events from their lives or from the news or anecdotal stories, and then they tell you what that story is, and then they clunkily link it to Jesus. And that is fair enough, and that is a service, and that is what some people want, and we have no problem with that at all. But my feeling is that there's a big section of society that gets left out when this happens, because no one does a thought for the day for Satanists. But because XFM is all about equality, we are going to attempt to redress that balance with thought for the day for Satanists. And today's message comes from the high priest from the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon. And he's called Vexen Le Crowley.
Last week, as I was driving my Morris Traveller back from Black Mass, I saw a tiny robin perched on the gate of the churchyard of St. Barnabas at Willowfield. You may know it. It's a beautiful Norman church. Anyway, I stopped for a while and I watched as this little robin struggled to and fro with twigs and bits of moss so much larger than himself to build a shelter against the cold wind. Satan's a lot like that, isn't he? You know, just like that tiny robin, Beelzebub, the fly-blown architect of filth, builds a flaming pyre of torment just for us. And that reminded me that all must fear the scorching agony of the Dark One, so I took out my petrol can, stripped naked, and burned St. Barnabas's to the ground. All because of that little robin. Which just goes to show.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So it's time for the reveal, then. Did you get it right? Where was Miles Hunt in Miles Away? We had hundreds of people texting in with the correct answer. Hundreds of you. Thank you very much. And on the telephone line now, someone who thinks they've got it right. Hello, person on the telephone line. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Who the heck are you?
I'm Elliot. I'm a student in Norwich.
Hello, Elliot. It's a pleasure to have you on the new X-Men Breakfast Show. Elliot, all the way from Norwich.
You're doing a good job, John.
Oh, well, how kind of you to say. I haven't even bribed or paid you to say that. You just said that off your own bat, Elliot. That's very good. And what are you a student of?
Politics with media.
Politics with media. Facing unemployment then.
Yeah.
Good. How long have you got to go?
Second year now.
Oh, okay.
Another year, and then I have to face unemployment.
Yeah,
woo.
But, you know, if you get this right, to cheer you through those long, lonely years, Elliot, you could be listening to the best of the Wonder Stuff on cassette. Yeah.
Oh, finally.
Have you got a cassette? Finally. Have you got a cassette machine? Do you even know what they are?
I have heard of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We're not going to send you a cassette player.
Why not?
Why not? We don't have the budget for that kind of thing. You can get one. I don't know.
Fair play.
Yeah. Matt will make you one. He's good with his hands.
Yeah.
Where did you think Miles Hunt from the Wonder Stuff was miles away? Where did you think he was?
I believe that Miles was talking about the planet Hoth from The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, let's go over to Miles and find out if you got it right, if you got the right answer. Miles, what's the answer?
This week, John, I was on the ice planet of Hoth. The ice planet of Hoth.
Congratulations, Elliot. You were absolutely spot on.
Fantastic.
Yeah, now you are getting the best of the Wonder Stuff on cassette. Try and sound a little bit more excited.
Oh, my God. Finally.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So this is the XFM Breakfast Show. I'm John Holmes. Well, I'm in the swanky surroundings. And it's swanky, isn't it, Quentin?
Yes, it is. Very swanky.
I'm quite impressed with this. Is this actually your bedroom? Is this where you're sleeping?
No, my bedroom is actually in there much nicer than this, actually.
We're in the Dorchester in London. And, obviously, Quentin Tarantino is here to talk about Django Unchained. Before we do, though, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you, Quentin, if I'm brutally honest. Now, my name is John Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, really,
So in Reservoir Dogs, right, there was there was that scene, of course, famously with the John Holmes word we can't say. In the diner restaurant scene thing there. And when that came out, and was also on the soundtrack, you can imagine my life was made a misery by my school friends, colleagues, friends. You know, and I'm going to blame you for that, because you introduced that, the porn star, to a whole new generation of people, I think.
Well, of all the things I could have said about you, that doesn't seem to be the worst one. You could actually be equally thanking me.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I probably should be. There's a lot of people, since I started on XFM, who've Googled my name, because my John doesn't have an H in it. There's
who've
Googled it with, and just gone, oh, dear, I wish I'd put safe search.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to thank you for, first of all. Let's obviously talk about Django Unchained. Where does it come, because everyone's so familiar with your work now, you know, we start like, we need to describe it to anyone, because it's the, you know, they were kind of films of a generation, I think. Where does this one come in the canon of your work?
Well, it's interesting, because I've always wanted to do a Western, and I've put Western, and not only Western, but spaghetti Western elements in my other films. Kill Bill has them, in particular Kill Bill 2. And even to some degree or another, I always thought Pulp Fiction has like a rock and roll spaghetti Western quality to it, very Leone-esque. So now I'm finally doing one proper.
The violence aspect of it, which is something growing up, as you didn't have them in America, we had the video nasties.
I'm very familiar with the video nasties.
And I grew up sort of surreptitiously collecting those.
Of course you did.
Swapping VHS cassettes with your mates, all that kind of stuff.
Do you think they had any idea that they were actually making them more popular by giving that title?
That's the ludicrousness of the whole situation. And now, what amazes me is you can just go into, you know, HMV or wherever and just buy these things that were banned in the 80s, just kind of over the counter.
Exactly,
even the uncovered.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things, I mean, if you're old enough to remember going all the way back to the early 90s with Reservoir Dogs, we were denied a video certificate for 2 years because of the violence in the film. We weren't allowed to have a video certificate.
Did that annoy you? Did you get cross about that? Or?
No, I didn't get cross about that at all. I mean, people were... Barry Norman and everything was completely on my side. He goes, this is a fantastic filmmaker, and you know, this hypocritical group is stopping his films from being played on video. The thing about it was, I actually kind of dug it for the one. I didn't mind the controversy aspect of it all.
Yeah, of course.
But the thing that it did is it actually kept Reservoir Dogs playing in the cinemas for 2 years. It never ever went away. It would always like be still playing somewhere in London, at least in one screen. Then until Pulp Fiction opened. Then when Pulp Fiction opened, then it got re-released all over again. So by the fact that it couldn't get a video certificate, it just kept playing theatrically. Well, of course I like that. That's better anyway.
People are saying that this is Django, I'm talking about, is classic Tarantino. Tarantino, back to what Tarantino does best. But to me, you've never not done what you do best. It's always kind of been up there. So
that's how I feel.
I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I believe you. Just because we're sitting in the nice Dorchester, I'm not just saying that. But I wonder what do they mean by that? What do you think classic Tarantino is, if you were to describe it? I'm glad I've asked you a difficult question.
You kind of gave my answer. I don't know what they mean by that, because to me everything is coming from.
My answer would be it starts with the script, because I think you're a director, but you're a writer.
That's absolutely what you do.
And I think the way you approach writing a script is possibly different to a lot of other script writers. You talked about how you see it as a sort of novel.
To me, the writing process is it's an artistic endeavor unto itself, and most people when they write scripts, they're going through the same writing process, and you know, they're looking for inspiration and creativity, and they get it or they don't. But they're still trying to kind of write a blueprint.
Sure.
I'm not trying to write a blueprint. I'm trying to write a piece of literature that is an artistic thing unto itself. In fact, the way I want to feel about my work when I get through with writing it is I want to be so happy with the script that I have to consider not making it.
Yeah.
You know, that I could just publish it and I'd be done.
Yeah.
And
that's the best version of it that they could be. That's
yes, exactly. Because it's mine to screw up.
What is next? I mean, are we allowed to know?
I don't really know exactly what's next. It's actually
Kill Bill 3? That's a rumor.
No, that's a lie. Yeah, I think
dash that.
I think she killed Bill. I put the bride through so much. I think she deserves a happy life.
She just
deserves a rest. You know, give her a break.
So come on, what are you thinking? Let's
I'm not. not really sure, I gotta say, because it's like, that's actually kind of exciting right now, because this movie, you know, every aspect of it, from the writing of it to the way we went into pre-production, the way we went into production, the way we went into editing, to like, boom, right into the theaters, and now this, it's like everything is just all connected. So, I'm tired.
You're looking very relaxed.
Yeah, exactly.
You deserve the rest.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. However, having said that, but that's kind of the fun part of, you know, being completely open and fresh, and wondering what is in store for me in the future is actually quite exciting.
Quentin, thanks very much for talking to us.
Hey, you were a fun guy, mate.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Hey, fun guy. Yeah. Did you hear that, Dave? Dave, the producer, did you hear that?
I heard that.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and he doesn't agree, all right? He's not agreeing.
He's just looking in horror at you. XFM. Hello, on the telephone. Hello?
Hello, hi there.
Hello, what line are you on?
On my mobile.
No,
line one. What,
just line one? No, it's line six. You've already lost 2 points. welcome. Hello, who are you? Hello.
I'm Jamie from Essex.
Hello, Jamie from Essex. It's lovely to have you on XFM. Listen, Jamie, it's very nice having you along. I'm going to explain to you how we play Call of Duty Black Ops on the radio, okay? If you get through unscathed, you could get 2 tickets to tonight's premiere of Django Unchained. Okay, that's clear with you, is it?
Yep.
Right, here we go. This is how we play Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the radio. Let me just set the scene for you, Jamie. It's the year 2025, Jamie. You are a US Marine captain tasked with infiltrating the Vault, a top security location. Your mission, to extract information from a contact about the whereabouts of a Nicaraguan narco-terrorist. Your mission, Jamie, is to get in, kill things, and get out. There are also zombies. During gameplay, enemies, terrorists, zombies, and so forth will appear. But careful, because so will innocent bystanders. Your controls are run, jump, shoot, don't shoot, cry like a girl, duck, hide, or bake a cake. Those are your controls clear?
Yep.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call out what's popping up in front of you, and you have to use one of those controls as best you see fit by just shouting it out, all right?
Yep.
So run, jump, shoot, don't shoot, cry like a girl, duck, hide, or bake a cake, all right?
Yep.
There is a bonus level as well. Are you ready? Where it goes faster. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah.
Let the game begin. You have entered the vault. In front of you is a darkened corridor. You begin to make your way along the corridor, senses heightened. I call out what appears. You must react using your controls. Here we go. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Zombie.
Shoot.
Zombie.
Shoot.
Innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Innocent bystander.
Don't shoot.
Greg Wallace from MasterChef.
Shoot.
No, that was bake a cake. Oh, anyway. Terrorist. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Lance Armstrong.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Spider.
Shoot.
Spider.
Hide.
Mouse.
Jump.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Your mother-in-law.
Don't shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Piers Morgan.
Shoot.
Bonus level. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Innocent bystander.
Shoot.
Innocent bystander. Innocent bystander. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Melon Sue from the Great British Bake Off.
Bake a cake.
Terrorist. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot. Shoot.
Bonus level over. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Non-BAFTA nominated Bond actor Daniel Craig.
Don't shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
The Duchess of Cambridge.
Don't shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Game over. Hey, let's... that wasn't bad, actually. You did pretty well in that, I think. Let's see what you scored. I make it... hey, you got a high score of 10,000.
Yeah, good.
That's very well done. Which I think, technically... I'm just checking, but I think technically that does make you a winner. Congratulations, you are a winner.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So Friday then, obviously, that's the sort of day that radio stations review things, isn't it? It's the end of the week,
People review things that have happened in the week and publications and the news and so on and so forth. And we're no different here. We are a radio station and we're contractually obliged to fill time by doing one of those kind of features. And, you know, we thought, well, what better thing to review than really, because it saves you the trouble of looking at them yourself, than the week's jazz mags. And what better person to review them than the country's leading jazz specialist, Jamie Cullum. So we thought, would anyone like to hear Jamie Cullum reviewing the week's jazz mags? And the answer to that is yes, I think we all would. So here he is, reviewing the week's jazz mags. It's Jamie Cullum. It's Jamie's Jazz Mags on XFM.
Hi, I'm Jamie Cullum, and this is Jamie's Jazz Mags, my regular roundup of jazz magazines on the John Holmes Show. This week's Jazz West Journal focuses on jazz. There's a chance to win some seeds to grow your own clarinet this spring, and a review of the fastest horn ever to grace a stage. It's a Jazz Armageddon. Jazzmageddon. Just Jazz Guitar Magazine has the new Ducati flugelhorn on test. It's got a spoiler and can go from silent to jazzy in 4.3 seconds. Plus, there are five individual reviews of a quintet. It's a whole heap of super jazz. And the latest Sounds of Timeless Jazz is all burst up with the Sounds of Timeless Jazz. They've found some timeless jazz trapped in amber on an island of Costa Rica, and scientists are trying to bring it back to life for a theme park. Let's hope it doesn't escape. Could be some dangerous jazz. I'm Jamie Cullum, and that's my roundup of jazz mags for John Holmes. Stay jazzy.
XFM. Still with us? Oh, good. Right, that was the inaugural XFM, all new XFM Breakfast Show podcast. High Octane out.
Thought about that. Hey, we'll be back next week with more lighting tips from Biffin Clyro.
Good. Biffin Clyro. Yeah. Good. Yeah, good. Yeah.
What else is on next week?
I don't know. What else is on, Dave?
Dave, you're not allowed to talk anymore, Dave. Oh, yes.
Write down what's on. Harry Hill will be on next week. Jamie Foxx. Jamie, he's miming that. He just did it like charades of a fox. His ears like that. And he started to go through the bin there. All right, the next thing he was going to do was bite a child, but luckily we guessed quickly what he was doing.
What
Jamie Foxx will be
this
on.
Is a good game. What else, Dave?
What else, Dave? Charade. Two words. What, Biffy?
A drunken peacock.
Lazy PR.
Lazy PR. So join us next week for Harry Hill, Jamie Foxx, Lazy PR, Professor Stephen Hawking, and a drunken peacock, only on XFM Breakfast.